Hallelujah. God is good. Come on, let's lift our hands to heaven right now. Let's honor Him for His blood. Honor Him for His sacrifice. Jesus, we love You. We thank You. You are the reason we are here today. And Lord, we join in with the host of heaven that are constantly declaring, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive glory and honor and power." All the praise belongs to You. And we thank You for every stripe that was laid on Your back to purchase our healing. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, let's go over to Psalm 91. Thank you, Jesus. We've been camping on the 91st Psalm for several weeks now. I believe this is part 10 of this series, which I have entitled "The Way to a Long and Satisfying Life." How many of you are interested in how to live a long and satisfying life? Amen. And the great thing about God is He just doesn't want to give you a long life full of pain and suffering. He wants you to actually be satisfied all the way to the end. Amen. So the way the Lord wants us to have it is just full of peace, full of the life of God, full of the glory of God. So Father, we thank You for providing this for us. So Psalm 91. Of course, we've said that Moses is the one who is commonly known to have authored this. So let's read it together. Psalm 91, verse 1. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." Can you say amen? Amen. Now, I love the last part of this psalm because it is a far cry from what religion will teach you, that you just never know what God's going to do. Have you ever heard that before? The preachers will say, "You just never know what God's going to do. His ways are higher than our ways, and they're past finding out." Well, I'm here to tell you, I know exactly what God's going to do. He's going to do what He did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus, who was the express image of His person, and only did what He saw His Father doing, He only said what He heard His Father saying. Jesus was the perfect example of God's will in our life. And right here, you see exactly what Jesus went about doing. He said, I will. And I love it. He actually says, "I will do something" 6 times and alludes to it 8 times. And in the midst of these verses, you only have our own personal responsibility, which says, "Because I have done something" twice. So what's that show us? You got your responsibility. There's a part we have to cooperate with God, But the main bulk of the load has been carried by the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has provided all of these things. He wants to give you all of this. Amen. And it doesn't matter how good you've been. It doesn't matter how bad you've been. We had somebody who was sitting in these pews one day when we started this healing school, and this individual had been diagnosed with cancer, terminal cancer, and I was ministering to him personally. And he started telling me, yeah, but I've done some bad things in my life, and there's been all these different poor choices I've made. I haven't taken care of my body. I've sinned and all this kind of stuff. And I'd never thought about this before, but I said, let me ask you a question. Have you ever read in the Gospels where great multitudes came to Jesus and he healed them all? He said, oh, yeah, I've seen that. I was like, well, let me ask you something. They were under the law then. And the Bible promised, the law promised them that if they will obey his commandments, he'd take all sickness and disease away from the midst of them. So if all these people came to him sick and diseased, then you'd have to assume they had violated the law somehow. They hadn't honored their part of the covenant. However, Jesus healed every one of them anyways. So what does that show us? It shows us that if we will just put our faith in what Jesus has done instead of putting our faith in what we have done, we can receive healing mercies, which is what? Not getting what you might deserve. Amen. You might have done some stupid things. You might have made some poor choices. But guess what? God in his goodness and his grace has provided us with healing even when we don't deserve it. Amen. Glory to God. So we just receive it right now, Lord, even if we don't deserve it. Praise the Lord. So the point that I'd made last time, I don't have time to review everything that we've talked about in this series so far, but the thing we did talk about last time was how this psalm seems to transition in verse 14 from Moses talking to God's people to God talking directly to them. Do you see that? Because he says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. And he goes on to say what he personally will do. And the point we made last time is this. Sometimes I believe that our faith in God's word is hindered because we don't have a personal relationship with the one who said it. We've got to hear God speaking these things directly to us. It's not good enough for you to leave this place on Thursday mornings and say, well, because Pastor Robert or Pastor Trey or Pastor Minton said it, I believe it. You got to have God speak directly to you, or you might suffer something like the seven sons of Sceva did. When they go about saying, I preached this Paul, this Jesus that Paul preached. Well, what happened? The devil jumped all over them, ate their lunch, and popped the bag. Amen. You've got to have God talk directly to you. You got to have God to communicating this to you. And that's when this book turns into a sword, when it becomes a rhema. The Holy Spirit said this to me. So we went through a lot of awesome truths in this, and I just encourage you, if you have not heard all of this series, go to our website, listen to them, because there is a lot of things that I've listed out through this psalm where I believe the Lord shows us how to get to verse 16. Verse 16, where he says he's promised us with long life. The way you get to long life is by his angels keeping charge over you, by you abiding in his under his shadow. All of these different things, and so it shows the power that's in our words, how to be led by the Holy Spirit. And we emphasized all these things. So I encourage you to go back and listen to that so that you can understand the full context. But today, as is my custom usually when I do a series of teachings, I like to conclude with the practical stuff. How do you apply it to your life? Because the Bible teaches us it is possible for us to be hearers of the word and not doers, and actually be deceived thinking that we're doing it. It says that over in James chapter 1. So we don't need to be deceived in thinking just because we come sit on these beautiful burnt orange pews that this is being implemented into our life. There are some practical ways in which we apply God's word into our life. So today, that's what I want to talk to you about. I want to get into the nuts and bolts and how to practically apply Psalm 91 into our lives. Now, the first thing that is of importance is hearing the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's not going to come some other way. We have to hear what God's will is. And as F.F. Bosworth, who wrote the book Christ the Healer, an awesome book on healing, I encourage you to read it if you haven't already, he said this: faith begins where the will of God is known. So if you don't know what God's will is, it's impossible for you to have faith. And the problem is, most Christians are trying to believe God for healing, but they don't know what God has said concerning healing. They're hoping and praying that maybe God will wake up on the right side of the bed one morning and decide to pour out a little sprinkle of blessing on them, and they might end up getting healed. And that is not the predominant way people get healed. Now, there are, like I said, healing mercies where God intervenes through what's called the gifts of healings, the gifts of the Spirit, where it has nothing to do with that, and people just get healed just because they show up. But that's few and far between. The primary way you and I are going to walk in our healing is by hearing the word and believing it. Because like in the example that I used with Jesus, all those great multitudes that came, there's actually one part in the Gospels where it said they came to hear and be healed. Hearing always precedes healing. You got to hear the truth, and then the truth ends up making you free. Amen. So let's go over to Proverbs chapter 4, because today I'm going to talk to you about how to take your medicine. You ready for that? You remember when your mom and daddy, when you were a kid, talked to you about taking your medicine and why it's important for you to do so? Well, this is how we started off our healing school. I taught a three-part series, four-part series, or something like that, called God's Medicine, which is, to me, the most consistent and effective way for us to be healed. I love it. Let's start in Proverbs chapter 4 in verse 10. Hallelujah. Now, we know Solomon, the second wisest man that ever walked this earth, Jesus being the first, is the one that wrote this, right? But we also need to know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So when you hear Solomon addressing his physical descendants, it's as if God is talking to us, his children. So you need to read it like that, because this is a personal love letter from God to you. It says in verse 10, "Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and what? The years of your life will be many." Now, what I love about this is it's just plain right here. If you will hear and you will receive what you're hearing, the years of your life will be many. But again, religion won't teach you this. Somebody will die prematurely and they'll say, well, God just took them because God needed another angel in heaven. And we went through many scriptures in the beginning of the series where God says, if you do this, your days will be multiplied. Your days will be lengthened. Your days will be prolonged. He uses all these different words to show you how to live a long time. So is God going to break his own rules and promise you how to get long life, and then, because he sees fit, take somebody early? It doesn't work that way. God is faithful to his word, and the truth of the matter is this: if we will do certain things, like in this case, hear the word and receive it, the years of our life will be many. And don't spiritualize this either. Well, he's talking about your spiritual life. No, he doesn't talk. When Solomon wrote that, was he talking about spiritual things? He didn't even understand spiritual things. He's talking physically. He was telling his kids, boys, if you will do the things that I'm imparting to you, you'll live a long time on this earth. Amen. So then he goes on to say in verse 11, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. So what does that show you? If you're supposed to be taking firm hold of instruction and you're supposed to be keeping her, you know what that indicates to you? Somebody is trying to take it from you. And do you reckon that might be a problem, an epidemic in the body of Christ, is that people hear the truth and then the devil comes and takes it from them? Jesus actually taught us this in the parable of the sower when he said some seed was sown on four different types of ground and the birds of the air came and devoured the seed, describing the devil. See, what happens is, right now, I just declare that the devil has no place in here and has no ability to steal the seed that's being sown on your heart this morning. But when you leave these doors, there is the prince of the power of the air out there that is constantly looking for ways to take what you have received. And to me, that's one of the primary reasons why the word doesn't bear fruit in our life, because we haven't kept it. And that's why I love what the Lord Jesus said in the book of Revelation to the churches. He said, hold fast to what you have. Not what you hope to have. What you already got, hold fast to it. So you got to learn to hold fast to it. Now, how do you hold fast to it? By constantly bringing it up in your mind, constantly thinking about it, reminding yourself, taking notes, listening to it over and over, and then rehearsing it constantly in your life. I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So the Lord is saying to us here, if you hear and receive my sayings, this is what will happen. I've taught you this way. I've led you in these paths. If you walk, you will not be hindered. And if you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Hold fast to her. And what I heard when I was reading this is the Holy Spirit's heart cry for all of you. You've been hearing these truths for 10 weeks that I've taught on this. And the Holy Spirit is like imploring you. He's beckoning you to hold fast to it. Make sure you receive it. Open your heart wide and let it be sown into your heart. Amen? Now skip ahead to verse 20 because now it gets good. Hallelujah. The Lord continues to talk to us and he says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? Why do you need to do this? For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Glory be to God. Now, when you look at this last phrase right here, health to all their flesh. The word health comes from the Hebrew word marpe, and it was a word that was used to describe health, yes, but also a remedy, a cure, and I like this right here, medicine. So what's the Lord telling us right here? His words, his sayings. Now, it's important to understand those two concepts. His words and his sayings, which is what? His words might be the logos, what is written. His sayings would be the rhema, what is spoken directly to you. Amen? So when you receive those, give attention to them, incline your ear to them, and so forth, what happens? Those words, those sayings produce life in you, what we're talking about here, and they act as medicine in your flesh. Now, I love the way he starts off and say, my son, do this. You know why? Because what happens with our little kids? Little Johnny, you better take your medicine. You better brush your teeth. And what do the kids do about specifically with brushing their teeth? They go when they're not looking and they run the water over the toothbrush and put it back in there. How many of you ever had kids before? You know they do this. God's children do the same stuff. God has specifically laid out to us how to have health in all your body. And you know what we do? Like little children, we got the medicine and we're like this. God ain't looking, throw it down there and let the dog eat it. And is it the parent's fault if that kid's teeth rots out and they get cavities if they ain't brushing their teeth when the parent told them to do so? No, it's not the parent's fault. Do you thought it was your fault when they weren't taking the medicine you told them to take it? No, it is the children's fault for not doing what the Lord has specifically laid out for them to do. But the good news is this, the decision is in our hands. Are you going to take the medicine or not? Now, the awesome thing about it is, he actually tells us specifically how to take the medicine. You know, like the little medicine bottle has on the back of it directions and instructions for use. Tells you to take it with a full stomach or a full glass of water or something like that. He actually tells you how to take his medicine right here. Look at verses 20 and 21. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. See, your heart is like your stomach. And how do you get food into your stomach? Through your mouth. Well, do you know how you get spiritual food into your heart? Through your eyes, through your ears. That's how you get them in the middle of your heart, where they can start assimilating into your body and producing. So how you hear, how you listen, how you pay attention is key. And I'm telling you, we live in a society today that is bombarding us with distractions. Thus the reason we got to give attention to it. Right? Paying attention. I mean, I'm telling you, I believe I might have a little bit of that. I had a hard time learning in school because the attention deficit thing, you know, I'm thinking about all this other stuff and formulating problems and stuff like that. But when it comes to the things of God, you have got to be single focused. You got to have it. It's got to have all your attention to where you really get it. And I'm just here to tell you, I've preached for enough years to know that it's amazing to know what people hear that you say. I've had people come to me after I get done preaching and say, "Pastor, that was great when you said such and such and such and such." And I'll be like, "I didn't say any of that." What are you hearing? Now, you need to be listening to the Holy Spirit, not just a man. I understand that. But at the same time, I think part of that is the condition of our heart, what we hear. It's the filter by which it all goes through. You see what I'm saying? So, but we got to pay attention and respect these words, value these words. It is the most important thing to us because they are our life and they are our medicine. So let's talk today about how to take our medicine, namely our Psalmex. Hallelujah. Because we're in Psalm 91, right? Now, this is the awesome thing, is that when it comes to God's scriptures, different verses, different books emphasize different things. And like I alluded to earlier, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So if your need is for, say, a deliverance, for a salvation, or for something to that effect, Psalms is where you want to go. You know why? Because Psalms are embalmed with God's willingness to deliver, to save, to protect His people. And I believe there's two reasons for this, and I want to share this with you today. I believe there's two reasons why Psalms is the richest book in God's Word that promises to keep, save, protect, and deliver His people. Number one, here's the reason why. Because declaring God's care for us is to be a major part of our praise life. If you see it throughout the Psalms, then evidently this is a pattern for which God shows us how we should be praising Him. In other words, when you praise God, and this is where people are at, and a lot of times we're just religious with it, I'll just be honest with you. Hey, stand here and praise God for me real quick. This is what people do. They change. You ever seen it? Who they normally are changes. And they're like, "Oh, I praise Thee, Father. I glorify Thee, Almighty God. For Thou art great and greatly..." And they just go through all this religious mess, which I believe God's only looking at your heart. And if you do that with all your heart, you might be more pleasing than the people that technically do it right. But at the same time, I think we should be technically doing it right. When you praise God, it is not by saying, "I praise you, God." You praise God by actually praising Him. What I mean by that? Many of us praise our children and our grandchildren more than we do God. How's that? Because when we get around people, what's the first thing that comes up? "Man, you should have seen Levi at the ball game Tuesday night. He threw a no-hitter. He hit a home run. He did all these different things." What am I doing? I'm praising Levi. We should be doing that about God. That's why I love it when people come to me and they're like, "Man, you ain't got to talk about God all the time." I said, "Yeah, but I get to." Hallelujah. What else do you want to talk about? Right? Constantly, and this is what's awesome about praising God. You don't just praise God by talking to Him. That's one of the main ways. You can praise Him by saying, "God, you're so good. You are so awesome. I thank you that you have protected me and you saved me from this and you did that. God, you are awesome and I love you." I can praise God that way. But here's another way I can praise God. "Johnny, let me tell you about what God did. God did this, God did that, brought me out of this, brought me out of that." I'm praising God that way. You see what I'm saying? And I'm getting ahead of myself again, but this is how His praise is to continually be in your mouth. Because you can't be all the time going around talking to God. You got to live amongst other people. But you can let His praise be continued in your mouth because in your own time you can praise Him directly. But then you can praise Him indirectly when you're around other people. Glory be to God. We got the opportunity to do this. Amen. Hallelujah. So Psalms is enveloped with God's promise to
protect his people. Here's the second reason I believe. The second reason I believe Psalms is so full of God's will to save and deliver his people. This is the second reason. Because those who live to praise, those who live a life of praise, are more sensitive and aware of God's deliverance. What do I mean by that? The more you live a life of praising him, the more aware you become of his will to do this for you. And it changes things. You remember what it says over in Psalm 76, verse 1? It says, in Judah, God is known. Now, what does Judah mean? Praise. So the truth we learn there is this, is in praise, God becomes more known. You become more aware of him. And this is what I thought is just awesome about it. There was a man in the Old Testament that next to Abraham and next to Moses was well ahead of his time in knowing the nature and attributes and character of God. And he was the biggest praiser we have in the Old Testament, David. David knew things that the people of the, under the law didn't know. And you know why? Because he was constantly praising God. Therefore, he knew God more. So he was ahead of his time. Hallelujah. He was essentially living under this dispensation of grace. Amen. To where he even declares under, in one of the Psalms, he said, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. Amen. And Paul quotes this later in the book of Romans to describe who David was talking about there. He was talking about us. We're the blessed ones who have been forgiven, who have been made righteous, who have had God pour out his goodness on us. But David saw it before the Lamb was ever sent. Amen? And I hope that you've been hearing this in these healing schools over the past few weeks. I know Pastor Robert and Minton and myself, we have been really seeming to be lacing our messages with understanding the unconditional grace of God. So let me give you a shameless commercial right now. I highly encourage you, if you can, on Wednesday nights starting next week, to come to High Point Church at 7 o'clock on Wednesday nights, where I'm going to be teaching through the book of Galatians. It's going to be a 13-week Bible study, and any of you that know, the book of Galatians is chock full of the grace of God, and you will leave this place with an understanding of knowing that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and that your sins have been paid for, and Jesus has done it all for you, amen. And then God is known more in your life. Amen. So, that's our Psalm X. But some of you might have problems in other areas of your life. Say it's financially. If you are having serious financial problems, there are certain books of the Bible that act as medicine for your financial crisis. Specifically, Proverbital. What is that? The book of Proverbs, which is your medicine for getting out of financial crisis, because it shows to us the wisdom of God. And the Bible says that when wisdom comes, in her right hand are riches and honor. Amen. So it's not a financial problem you have. It's a wisdom problem. And so then, if I need that in my life, I don't need to be studying Revelation if I got financial problems. I need to be studying Proverbs and other books like that. Amen? Here's another one. If you are sick with condemnation and guilt, and you're constantly letting the devil beat you over the head, making you think you're guilty, and you're so sin conscious, guess what you need to be taking? Vitamin G, hallelujah. The grace of God, amen. You need to get in the book of Galatians. You need to get in the book of Romans and let the truth of justification by faith take over your heart until that medicine begins to work in your life. So whatever your need is, you might need some Psalm X. You might need some Proverbital. You might need some vitamin G. I don't know what it is, but find out what the Word of God says concerning that and take your medicine according to the prescribed formula. Amen. Because we got a great physician, amen, who has written out a prescription for you and I. Hallelujah. And the good news about this prescription and this medicine is there is no copay. There is no deductible. There is nothing we got to pay for it. It's completely free, purchased by the stripes of Jesus. Can I get an amen? I done preached myself happy this morning. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. So, I want to talk a little bit to you about the Psalm X, because this is key. Go to Psalm 32. Man, I don't know about y'all, but I'm glad I came this morning. I'm having a good time. And some of y'all think you're here by accident. I decided to come today. Nah, the Holy Ghost got you here. Because he knows what you need. And that's what I like to tell people all the time. Man, you're sitting, some people sit there and they're like, man, I wish brother so-and-so was here today. No, you're here. And because evidently the Holy Spirit thought you needed this. Amen. 32:7. Oh, I love this right here. This is what taking your Psalm X will do. David said, You are my hiding place. You're my secret place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. Now, there are two ways you can look at that last phrase. One of them is this, is that God is singing over you. I will protect you. I will deliver you. I'm your salvation. I'm your life. It could be that. But I believe this latter description is the truth. You surround yourself with God's deliverance when you sing songs about His deliverance. Amen. What does that mean? When you go around singing, you are my hiding place. You deliver me. You preserve me from trouble. Father, I thank you, you surround me with your psalms of deliverance. And you just go around singing that, and guess what happens? You are in the Spirit positioning God's protection all around you to where you got the shield of faith before you and the glory of God is your rear guard, hallelujah, and you protect it on every side, and I am untouchable. Hallelujah. This is how it works right here, amen. Now, when you pick out medicine for kids, did you ever notice that today they have different flavors? The kids don't like medicine the way it tastes. And so they what do they ask the kid? Do you want bubble gum? You want grape? Or you want cherry? Which one do you want? Well, this is what I love about God's Psalm X. Baskin-Robbins ain't got nothing on God. Baskin-Robbins only has 31 flavors. God has 150. Because there's 150 psalms. Glory be to God. One of my favorite flavors is flavor number 34. So let's go to Psalm 34. This is one of the most underestimated psalms that shows us how to surround ourselves with psalms of deliverance. Amen. Glory be to God. Are you getting something out of this today? Or am I just preaching to myself? I mean, you know, it's fine. I'll do it to myself if I have to. Look at this now. Hey, what is the primary way that you take medicine? Orally. Did you know that's the primary way that you take God's medicine? With your mouth. And I'm going to show you exactly how to do it right here. Psalm 34. Look at this. Verse 1, I will bless the Lord when I feel like it, when it's convenient, when things are going good. Is that what it says? Or is that second hesitations I'm reading out of right now? No, what am I saying right now? This is at all times, and all times means all the time. That means that when I don't feel like it, when circumstances aren't going right, we are commanded to praise the Lord at all times and to rejoice evermore. And the awesome truth about it is, if the Lord said you should do it, you can do it. Amen. Many people think, well, you can't praise God when things are going bad. If you're looking at the bad things, you can't. But if you look at the one who's the solution to the bad things, you can. You can walk on water just like Peter did, glory be to God, as long as you're looking on Jesus. But if you start looking at the winds and the waves, the circumstances, it's going to be downright impossible to rejoice. But you can rejoice when you got your eyes on the solution. Glory be to God. So I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be where? In my mouth. And when His praise is continually in my mouth, I'm continuously taking this Psalm X, which is bringing medicine and life to all my body. Oh, glory be to God. So you might be seeing some of the problems we've been having. The truth is, if we just praise God all the time, it's not just us surrounding ourselves with psalms of deliverance. It's not just that we're inviting God to do things. We're also taking something at the same time. Hallelujah. The medicine you need for your deliverance, for your healing, for your salvation. Hallelujah. And notice what he goes on to say. And I'm going to illustrate this to you. This is how Pastor Trey would do it. You ready for this? I'll actually go over to the Psalms when I need to, and I'll go over here and I'll say, it's medicine taking time. I will bless the Lord at all times. Father, I'm going to praise you all the time, and right now is part of all times. So right now I praise you. I give you glory because you are my God. You have provided so many things for me. And I thank you, Lord. You delivered me from the lion and from the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be just like one of them. Your praise will continually be in my mouth. Not just in my heart. My heart sings to you. And I like rejoicing to you on the inside. But I like to let it come out of my mouth as well. So right now, I just lift my voice up and say, God, you are great. You are my God. You're stronger. You are mighty. Greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. And my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. I like that right there. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. Because a lot of times people will hear the way I'm talking right now and they'll think, boy, that just sure sounds arrogant. Sounds a little haughty. It is always right as long as you're giving God the glory. God loves it when His people talk boldly like that. Like David approaches Goliath. He said, I'm going to take your head from you today. What gall was that? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And he just sits here and lays all this stuff out. And you know, some of the other Hebrews were hearing that, and they'd be like, David, who do you think you are, man? God loves me too. God wants to do it for me too. Well, praise God. I'm glad you're saying it. Amen. So my soul shall make its boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear of it and be glad. That's what's so awesome about it, is the humble people are the people that won't criticize you for talking this way. It's only the proud people that'll do it. So look at here, verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. So let's get some people together. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt His name. Together. Why? Because where two or three are gathered together in His name, He's there in the midst of Him. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Lord, right now I'm doing my best and everything I know to do to seek You. And because I'm seeking You, I thank You, Lord, that You hear me and You deliver me from all my fears. See, most of us don't talk this way because we're waiting to see Him deliver us from all our fears before we'll start talking this way. Call it like I see it, bless God. Well, you might not see it then. If you want to see it, you better call it that way before you see it, just because you believe it. Glory be to Jesus. So I sought the Lord and He heard me and deliver me from all my fears. They looked to Him and were radiant. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Lord, thank You that You saved me out of every single one of my troubles, because I humble myself to You. Amen. And then he goes on to say, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them. God, I thank you that your angels surround me, they encamp around me, and you do deliver me all the time. Hallelujah. And then he goes on to say, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no lack to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger. Now, young lions here is not describing an infant, a pup. It's describing a lion in its prime, when it's at its prime for hunting. So even the young lions might have days where they don't catch nothing and they're not eating, but not those that fear the Lord. Those that fear the Lord, they will always have their needs met. You'll never lack. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. So who's the righteous? Is he talking about somebody else here? Or is he talking about you? I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We got all kinds of scriptures that say that. So the eyes of the Lord are on me. So what do you think should be a regular part of what you say throughout the day? Thank you, Lord, your eyes are on me. Your eyes, if they're on the sparrow, surely you watch over me. And his ears are open to their cry. So, Lord, I thank you. You hear me every time I cry out to you. Glory be to Jesus. Verse 16, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Thank you, Lord, I'm not evil anymore. I'm righteous. So thank you, Lord, you don't cut me off. Amen. And then it goes on to say, the righteous cry out. Who's the righteous? Me. And the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Hebrew in all means all. So that means any trouble you find yourself in, the Lord said he will deliver you out of it. Amen. And then he says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Now, whenever I hear it, I hear people quote this verse all the time, and they like to emphasize the first part. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, brother. You're going to have a lot of bad things happen. But finish the verse, bless God. It says, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. That's right. So the Lord's promise is, yeah, you might have many afflictions, but the Lord has promised to deliver you out of every single one of them. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. I mean, do you lay hold of promises like that? I'm telling you, I've done that. Never had a bone broken in my body. And I declare I never will. And we declare that over my son too. Amen. Why? Because this is my inheritance. And because I say it. Amen. And then it says, evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. None of those that trust in you will ever be condemned. So now I declare I'm not only not condemned, but I am justified. I'm righteous in God's sight. I'm holy without blame before you because you love me. Because it's what God said. So that's a pretty good psalm. 34th flavor is pretty good. But, you know, we've been talking about the 91st flavor. So let's go over there. And now it's your turn to apply this to your life. Hallelujah. So let me look this up. I actually put together a nice little confession for us this morning. So let me pull her up. Go to Psalm 91. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to end with an exercise. And I'm going to show you through our beloved 91st Psalm how to take its truths and begin to have it working in your life. So let's stand on our feet. We're not going to do a traditional altar call this morning. We're learning how to take our medicine ourselves. Amen? So this is what we're going to do. I want everybody to stand up, if you're physically able to do so. And I want you to repeat after me. And I want you to close your eyes, put your attention on this, and really put all of your focus over on what you're saying. Don't just try not to just parrot it off. Let yourself really believe this in your heart. And this is based on the 91st Psalm. So repeat after me. Say, Lord, it is written that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Father, I live in your presence and I will stay there. Thank you that I cannot escape your presence. And as Moses said, if you do not go there, I don't want to go there either. I want to dwell in your presence all the days of my life. And you have promised me here, when I do dwell in your secret place, I will abide under your shadow. So I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. You are my God, and in you I will trust. I also declare that you are my healer, my deliverer, my life, my salvation. You are my God, and I hope in you. Surely, 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 you shall deliver me from all the devil's traps. You lead me out of all temptation and deliver me from all evil. You also deliver me from the perilous pestilence. You shall cover me with your feathers. It's all covered under your presence. Yes, under your wings, I take refuge. Your truth is my shield for every attack. So I love your truth. It's my protection. I shall not be afraid. I will not fear. No matter what the devil throws at me, I will not be afraid. Lord, you told me to fear not. So I will not fear. A thousand may fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand. But it shall not come near me. It doesn't matter if everyone else is getting it. I won't. It doesn't matter if it happens to everyone else. It won't happen to me. Only with my eyes shall I look and see the reward of the wicked. But again, it won't come near me. Because I have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, my dwelling place, no evil shall befall me. Nor shall any sickness or disease come near this temple or near my property. Lord, you give your angels charge over me to keep me in all your ways. So I thank you for my guardian angels who lift me up in their hands, lest I even dash my foot against a stone. I declare that I tread upon the lion and the cobra. I trample underfoot the young lion and the serpent. All the power of the enemy is under my feet. I have authority over them in Jesus' name. So because I have set my love upon you, therefore you will deliver me. You will set me on high because I have known your name. I shall call upon you, and you will answer me. You will be with me in trouble. You will deliver me and honor me, and with long life, you will satisfy me and show me your salvation. Amen. Don't you just feel better? The way you feel after you do that is the way you can feel on Monday, on Tuesday, and any day of the week if you just choose to do this on your own. Amen? So take two of these and call me in the morning. Hallelujah. Come on, let's lift our hands up to heaven. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We thank you for your medicine that is health to all our flesh. And God, I am so thankful that, Lord, you have told us that all your sayings, that all of your words are health to all our flesh. Because what that should prove to us is this, is that, Lord, if all your sayings and all your words are for us, and we know they are, Galatians is for us, Romans is for us, Ecclesiastes is for us, Leviticus is for us. If all your words are for us, then that means health is for us. And Father, I just thank you that as Brother Hagin so poetically put, he used to wonder when he was a child how a brown cow could eat green grass and produce white milk that when churned makes yellow butter. He said, but all the time I'm trying to figure it out, I'm enjoying the biscuits and drinking the milk. Glory to God. We don't need to know how it works. We just need to know that it does. Glory to God. And just obey the principles and the laws you've set out. So Lord, as I've prayed already, and I thank you, Father, you've already heard me. I thank you that this word has been sown in individuals' hearts this morning. And I thank you, Father, it is going to bring forth fruit in their lives in the days coming. And we give you glory, we give you honor, and give you praise for all the fruit for the harvest in advance, because we're faith people, and faith people believe it before we see it. Can I get an amen? Amen, amen, amen. Amen.